Well, good afternoon and hello. Welcome to Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd with you on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. We love that you've tuned in or listening to us online at kkfi.org. You know, each week is just really special. I love being here with you. I love that you've invited us into your ears. So thank you for that. I want to tell you that this week we've got Jennifer Nigro, who is with the Audio Reader Network. She's here in the studio. Also, writer, community activist Jeanette Powers, and the wonderful, lovely, talented Pablo Sunways is here. He's going to tell us everything that's going on. There's like three pages of events that he's got going on, so we're very excited to speak with him today. Also, a special treat, my daughter, my favorite daughter, Whitney Boyd, and Brian Gomez is here. Yay! So, just have a couple of announcements to make, because my friend Frank Lingo, who is a writer, sent me an email and said that his book, In Solidarity with the March for Our Lives, he's a former columnist. He's now offering his anti-gun novel, Earth Vote, on Amazon and other ebook sites, no charge. The theme of Earth Vote is what happens when everyone in the world gets to vote for peace. So take a look at that. Also, there was another announcement that I have here. From Mason Kilpatrick of the Charlotte Street organization, arts organization. He wanted to let us know that the 2018 Art Omni Fellowship has been announced. Rashawn Griffin has received the Charlotte Street Fellow of the Art Omni International Artist Residency. It's for the summer of 2018, and it's a highly respected residency program for upstate New York. So congratulations to Rashawn on that. Also, Jillian Youngbird was awarded the 2018 recipient. She is the recipient of the Byron C. Cohen Award, and that provides one Kansas City-based visual artist to attend a leading national, international art fair of their particular interest. So congratulations to you for that, Jillian. Also, charlottestreet.org for more information, and you can get details of upcoming events and submissions and all. So I'm going to turn to my first guest, and that would be Jennifer Nigro, who is the coordinator of volunteers for Audio Reader Network. Now, the Audio Reader Network is a reading and information service for blind, visually impaired, and print disabled individuals in Kansas and western Missouri. So they read daily newspapers, magazines, and best-selling books on the air and on the internet 24 hours a day. So welcome, my friend Jennifer.
Thank you, Maria.
Wow, 24 hours a day, nonstop, and you're all volunteer-based, right?
We are volunteer-based. We have about 10 staff members and 475 or so volunteers, and that's across four different locations.
Yeah, and the services are offered free of charge, right?
That's right.
How do people find out more information about the services that you offer or subscribe to that?
We have all of our information available on our website, which is reader.ku.edu. And on there, you can apply for service. We have a variety of different ways that you can listen. We have a radio station, essentially, as you mentioned, that operates 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And there's a set schedule for all of our programming there. So you're going to hear the Lawrence Journal World at 11 a.m., the Wichita Eagle at 1 p.m. So we cover all of the newspapers from across Kansas and the parts of Missouri that we cover. We also have a telephone service where people can call in and access publications like the Kansas City Star on demand whenever they want. We also do grocery store ads, discount store ads, mail order catalogs, things that you wouldn't necessarily think of.
Yeah.
And then we do special requests as well, where people can send in whatever they would like to have read. Dairy Goat Journal, for instance, is one of the publications
really?
We do. Yes, yes. We saved a goat's life by reading this. We're very proud of that. But
that's a great story.
Yeah.
I love that.
So it's really a wide variety of material, and you can sign up for all of that on our website.
And, you know, one question that sticks in my mind is this all English read, or is it other available in other languages?
At this time, it's English read, and that's partly because of an outreach challenge. You know, you're outreaching to a set audience, i.e. visually impaired, and then finding that additional subset makes it even more difficult. But we are completely open to reading Spanish language materials and other materials. I have volunteers who read those languages, speak those languages, so they're ready to go. We just need to know there's some demand out there, so people are welcome to let us know that.
So you're broadcasting 24 hours a day from studios at the University of Kansas in Lawrence, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, and you're just using a large pool of volunteers daily to read weekly and daily newspapers, magazines, and books. But that also be for children, too, or young readers.
We don't do a whole lot of programming for young people, and that's because people who are young and blind have grown up with technology. They grow up learning to read Braille. So they don't have all of the same challenges with accessing print that a lot of our older listeners have. If you're 80 years old, have just lost your vision, you aren't going to go out and learn how to use Braille or a screen reader or any of that other technology. You're trying to figure out how to live your life and adapt. And so that's where our radios come in very handy. They're tuned directly to our frequency. There is no way to get them off track. And it's a simple on-off switch. So if you have mobility issues, severe arthritis, have had a stroke and lost use of your an arm or a hand or something, it's still very easy to use.
Now, how long has Audio Reader Network been around?
We went on the air October 11th, 1971. We're the second service of our kind in the country. So long history.
And again, you're all volunteer-based. If people are interested in becoming volunteers for this organization, how do they reach you? Do they contact you?
Yes, they can contact me. And my direct line, if you want it, is 785-864-4604. Or they can email jnigro@ku.edu. We also have a volunteer application on our website. And if you fill that out, it sends it directly to me, and I'll contact you to set up our first meeting. We do require all of our volunteers to pass a reading audition. It consists of a 100-word pronunciation test and a series of reading samples. It's pretty difficult, I won't lie. And that's because what we read is not written to be read aloud. It's you know, long sentences and big words and not always the very best editing sometimes. So there's a lot of thinking on the fly as you're reading.
Wow, that's wild. You know, it's been around since 71, you say? So who are your volunteers? Are they people that from all walks of life that are just want to help provide a service for visually impaired folks?
Yeah, they are. We have everyone from college professors to retirees to working moms to stay-at-home moms, homeschooling moms, all the moms. You know, people who work in restaurants, people who work in banks, everywhere.
Good.
It's open to anybody and everybody.
Also on your website, I notice you have events that are coming up and different ways to get involved. So do you want to talk about some events that might be coming up? Be of interest to our listeners?
We're super excited. We are launching a new satellite location in Springfield, Missouri. We're going to have a group of volunteers down there who go on the air April. Gosh, we don't want to fast forward that far. April 2nd. And what they'll do is they'll break away from our broadcast for 2 hours each weekday afternoon to read newspapers from the Springfield area. So that's a way to kind of specialize that. So we're super excited about that. We're having an audio description training April 21st and 22nd. And what audio describers do, this is a little different from our reading service. We go out to area theaters and we describe what's happening on stage in real time. So we do that at Starlight Theater every summer. We do that at the Lead Center, Theater Lawrence, all over the place. So we're specially training volunteers to do that. Tons of fun. We have a golf tournament coming up June 4th at the Eagle Bend Golf Course in Lawrence. And of course, many of your listeners may have heard of our 4 year ears only sale. It's a huge audio sale. And we have finally set the dates for that. That will be September 14th and 15th.
And tell us more about the about that event, because you know, people may be interested in more details on that.
Sure. Yeah. So what we do is we take in donations of gently used audio products. all summer long.
Eight-track cassette?
We get eight tracks. We don't...
Reel-to-reel?
We love reel-to-reel. We don't sell cassettes anymore, but if someone happens to donate them, we'll throw them out on our free table. But a lot of record albums. We especially like those pop and rock donations. Mm-hmm. Lots and lots of audio equipment. If you are in the market for a turntable and vinyl is back, people, at least according to my husband,
he
loves it. Yeah. You know, it's a great place to pick up a turntable for not a lot of money. And of course, it benefits a great cause.
And where does this take place?
It's at the Douglas County Fairgrounds, and it happens on a Friday evening, which is a ticketed event, and then Saturday is free admission, and but you don't get the first pick of everything if you go on Saturday. So it's pretty amazing to see people line up across the parking lot hours beforehand. It's pretty amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So is all this information on your website?
It is.
And you're also on Facebook, right?
And we are.
And other social media?
We are on Facebook and Twitter.
Terrific. Now, this is, if you just tuned in to ArtSpeak Radio, I'm talking to Jennifer Nigro, who's the coordinator of volunteers for Audio Reader Network, and that's based in Lawrence, Kansas. And you're connected with University of Kansas there, right?
We are, yes. We're a public service of the university. Although we are a statewide service, we cover the entire state of Kansas and Northwest Missouri, and as I mentioned, moving into the Springfield area.
Now, is there a special radio that folks must have in order to get this the service?
There is, yeah. It's called a closed circuit radio. And basically what that means is we aren't broadcasting out in the open. You can't tune in and listen to us on your car stereo. Mm-hmm. And that's because of copyright laws and FCC regulations. Mm-hmm. So we protect what we're reading so that we can read whatever we want, whenever we want, without having to censor or go through the red tape of asking permission. So it's a huge access to information issue. So we hand out those special radios. If you apply for service, we send it to you free of charge. You keep it on loan for as long as you need it.
Wow. And then to find other audio information services, there is an 800 number?
There is. I don't know that off the top of my head, but it does.
Right,
do
here.
You? Great, great. It does ring to a coworker's office. Okay. It's an international association that we belong to.
800-280-5325 is the number to find out about other audio information services. But this is a terrific one that you're providing for people in the community. And how long have you been doing this yourself, Jennifer?
It'll be 14 years come June.
Wow.
So a good long time.
Wow. You know, Audio Reader Network is a reading and information service for the blind, visual impaired, and print disabled individuals in Kansas and Western Missouri. So reading newspapers and magazines and best-selling books on the air and on the internet 24 hours a day, you never cease.
There's That's this, correct. We aren't open 24 hours a day, but we're automated overnight.
Yeah. And the services are offered free of charge to anyone in their listening area. Can you describe your listening area then for our listeners?
Yes. So we cover all across Kansas. There are some pockets here and there that we don't get to for, you know, radio wave topography type reasons. But those listeners can access us on our website. We do stream our radio broadcast on the internet, and we're also working on an Alexa app that's we're just about ready to launch. So if you have an Alexa, you'll be able to enable, we have an actual skill, so you'll be able to enable our skill, and we'll have information about that on our website once it's 100% ready to go. So people who don't get the radio signal for whatever reason do have other options, but we do cover Kansas, Northwest Missouri, down into Springfield. Kansas City, of course, is in our listening area, and we have a local group of volunteers here in Kansas City who do some of our reading. They broadcast from Alpha Point, which is at 75th and Prospect. And they do that 2 hours of reading Monday through Friday that our Springfield volunteers will be doing.
And for people who request certain material or books or that to be read, do they also contact you and say, you know, this book, you know, is something that I'd like to hear through the radio or advertisement or something? They would contact you for that as well?
Yes, they could contact anyone in our office, and we'll make sure that gets processed.
Yeah, what is the turnaround time on that? Is it just whoever is available as volunteers?
It really depends on the length of the material. If it's a full-length book, even if I put several voices on it, it's going to take, you know, a couple weeks to a month. If you want a single voice, it's going to take longer. But we can turn other things that are time-sensitive around very quickly. I can just toss that at someone when they walk in the door one day.
That's terrific. Is there anything that we've left out that you want to mention that's upcoming or something, an announcement from Audio Reader Network?
Oh, gosh, just, you know, our launch in Springfield is super exciting. That's a partnership with the Missouri Council of the Blind and their thrift store down there. We're actually broadcasting from our studio is in the thrift store, which is kind of cool.
Wow.
You can shop and broadcast all in the same day.
In Springfield.
Right? In Springfield. So if anybody knows anybody in that area who's interested in volunteering or getting involved in any way, they can sure let us know about that.
Absolutely. And again, if you would share your website with us.
Yes, our website is Reader, that's R-E-A-D-E-R, dot K-U, as in the university, dot E-D-U, as in education.
How do people find you on campus?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question. So we actually broadcast out of a beautiful little house that's on campus. It's kind of tucked back off of 11th Street. We're just west of Memorial Stadium. Mm-hmm. And we have a sensory garden on our property. It's quite beautiful, especially as we get into spring and summer, that you can come and visit and wander through. It's got Braille markers on some of the plants, and you can touch and taste and feel.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah. So we're just kind of tucked off the beaten path. We're in the same building as Kansas Public Radio, if people are familiar with that.
We love Kansas Public Radio.
We
love
too.
All our, you know, community radio, NPR people and
yes,
KCUR
yes.
and all that. Yeah.
And KCUR is one of our partners as well. We broadcast on their subcarrier here in the Kansas City area.
Very good. Very good. Well, thank you so much, Jennifer Niger, for coming in. She's the coordinator of volunteers for Audio Reader Network. And thank you so much for sharing all the information with us, and we'll have you back soon.
All right. Thanks, Maria.
You bet. And we're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. And there's a little salsa Celtica, El Agua de la Vida. So, St. Patrick's Day and salsa music goes together like, I don't know, peanut butter and glue. I don't know. I'm just making stuff up now. So, hey, I'm going to tell you up. Next, in the studio, we have Jeanette Powers. She's an anarchist, a performance artist who uses poetry and art to question habitual behavior and to dismantle internalized obedience. She heads the artist-driven performing arts venue, Uptown Arts Bar, and is the founding editor of the nonprofit Chameleon Press. She's published a bunch of books of poetry, including the newest, Gasconade, by Night Ballet Press, in April. It's coming up, right?
That's right.
Yeah. She's an alumni of Osage Arts Community and serves on the board for Fountain Verse, an annual small press poetry fest in Kansas City. And she can most often be found near a river with her hound dog, Ollie. So you can connect with her right after this. So hello, Jeanette.
Oh, hello, Maria. How are you?
I love this. This is a great little description of you. And, you know, you killed it last Friday at the Writer's Place.
Thank you. It was such
that
a joy.
That was terrific.
It was a great reading. Wonderful, wonderful people.
Some
Samantha
powerful
Slipsky,
women. Yeah.
MG Salazar. It was great.
I enjoyed it. And, you know, there was a lot of discussion because I'm on Riverfront Reading Committee, and we were sending emails and saying what a terrific evening that was. So thank you for providing us with that. So,
thank you.
But you've got lots going on. And again, I know you wanted to focus on Uptown Arts Bar because there's something happening every night of the week, right?
Yes, absolutely. We run between 50 and 70. If we're fully booked, it's about 75 live original performing arts shows in a month. So Kansas City's got a lot of creatives.
Wow.
That's why I wanted to come here. And really, bragging about Uptown Arts Bar is actually bragging about the Kansas City creatives. And people thank me, and I'm always thankful for that, and I will take all the nice compliments, but realistically, I am just the vessel. I am the person who creates the space.
Yeah.
And I'm so unbelievably privileged to be interacting with so many fantastic, dedicated people.
And you have a great crew down there, too. Mm. And I'm going to say hello to Susanna Lee. Hello, Susanna Lee.
Hello.
We love Susanna Lee. And everyone that is at the Uptown Arts Bar is making it happen.
In some ways, my policy has been twofold. And one is the booking and how you treat your artists. And one is the staffing and who works there. So every single staff member is themselves an extremely dedicated working artist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they immediately understand the clientele. They immediately understand the needs of the producers and the stage management. They get every aspect of that. Also, all of them are very socially minded.
Mm-hmm.
So that most of them are activists in one way or another. And that's important to me because when you're going to brand your business as a safer space, which I do, then every single person has to be fully dedicated to that. It can't be halfway. You can't not understand. It has to be this open ear, this open heart, and this keen eye to be sure that everyone is in a place. And, you know, not everyone is visibly marginalized.
Right, right.
And so just keeping that open mind of you are looking at a human, not at an identity politic or anything like that, is the key to that. So the staff is the key.
That's interesting, yes. Uptown Arts Bar is located at 3611 Broadway.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
So what do you have on tap for the next few days?
Well, what I really was wanting to brag about today is next week. Well, this weekend is St. Patrick's Day, right, so we're on the parade route. Come party with us. It's awesome. But next week is just this poetry mega powerhouse week, starting with Wednesday at our regular poetry open mic sequence, free event with Desiree Dalla Giacomo, internationally famous slam poet, phenomenal community builder in her own world. And then Thursday, we have Buddy Wakefield, who's like probably one of the most best known poets in the world. Stunning. And Friday then, I think that makes it the 23rd. We have four regional slam teams competing against each other in kind of like a, you know, just showcase.
Sure.
And then we have Jasmine Mann's afterwards. Mm-hmm. And so just it's a phenomenal amount of touring poets coming in, and they're joined by local poets at every moment. And that's mostly thanks to the work of Samantha Slupski, who runs Poetic Underground. Phenomenal.
Hello, and Samantha, we love you.
Oh, I love her. She's on her way to Women of the World Poetry Slam with our representative, Katie Clare, right now. And then I also want to brag, I just today finalized the booking for every third Saturday has two events that I'm incredibly excited about because there's such a need for this in our community. And the first is called Flaccid Femmes, Humble Humor. It's a femme-only open mic. And so you can sign up on the event page. You can sign up at the show itself. It's always free. It's always femmes. And it's been 2 months now. It's phenomenal. Packed house.
Oh, great.
Amazing.
Good.
And then following that show is Jessica Ayala has an Afro Latinx features that night. And so it's maybe it's drumming. Well, yes. Maybe it's drumming. Maybe it's poetry. It's all of these different things. So back to back, you just have these two femme-driven events. They're really phenomenal.
That's terrific. This Uptown Arts Bar has such a diverse programming, you know.
Yes.
Whether it be performance, poetry, spoken word, whatever. There's so much going on. Also, I think there's a standing Blue Monday.
Oh, that is such a wonderful event. Yeah. Sharon Eicher, who a longtime poetry advocate, runs every second Monday is 7 to 9, is an open mic poetry reading, absolutely free. It was just this previous Monday, and the feature was Mary, and I don't know how to pronounce her last name because my tongue is broken, but she was amazing. Sharon brings out such wonderful features, and it's a great show.
And then the Creative Hour also takes place there at Uptown Arts Bar.
I believe that is fourth Thursdays. And it's a storytelling event, which has really been something that's been missing from our wheelhouse. And it's just had a phenomenal turnout. And Miss Irwin is a wonderful producer and promoter for that. So it's just going
Had her on the show. Well, and actually, I think they just announced, or they were going to announce the subject for the next Creative Hour. And I don't know if they've done that.
It's actually, you know what? I know now it's third Thursdays because she had to move to Monday because Buddy Wakefield had been booked for so long already in that spot. It's difficult to negotiate so many things. So that'll be the Monday following that Thursday. I don't know. I don't have a calendar.
Well, the Uptown Arts Bar website.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. UptownArtsBar.com/calendar or click on the little link. Because with so many things going on, that's just the most up-to-date information that you can get about the venue. And, it's always got everything going on.
And Jeanette, don't go away because I've got some underwriting and some other things to air. But don't go away because we're going to be right back with Jeanette Patterson.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Art Speak Radio on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd with you. Hello, every Wednesday from noon to 1, here from the studio at 39th and Main. Listening online, kkfi.org. Hello to those listening online. Jeanette Powers is here in the studio. Hello, Jeanette.
Oh, hello.
So we were talking a little bit before the break about It's Uptown Arts Bar is an artist-run space.
That's right, entirely.
Yeah. So tell our listeners what you were telling me.
Well, what I most...
Without the cuss words. Just kidding.
Everyone knows my mouth. Woo! What I most want the listeners and the artists to know is that we at the Arts Bar are about encouraging, developing, and engaging, especially new and emerging artists. Because the idea of creating a show and creating an idea, a lot of times the deal breaker for people is they have this great idea, but they can't afford the venue. They don't know what a backline is. They don't know how to write a press release or where to send it. Just these kind of details that take time to learn. And so from the beginning at the Arts Bar when I got there, there were people who were like, oh, here's your cut of the door. And I just went, absolutely never again. Mm-hmm. We're never doing that again. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, 4 years later, I've developed that into this policy in a succinct soundbite. We never charge for the stage. Mm-hmm. We always provide the sound tech. I help you and nurture you along with all of your promotions. I share all of your promotions across all of our platforms because I'm taking that weight of being the promoter off your shoulders so that anyone can develop their concept. Yeah. Money is not going to stand in your way. And then also the artists who produce shows, they get to keep 100% of their door that they take, their merch that they sell. The Uptown Arts Bar does just fine with the booze.
And okay, again, with the website, for more information for people to contact you.
That's right, uptownartsbar.com. And then you can email me directly at uptownartsbar@gmail.com.
And we're going to shift real quick and just give us an update on upcoming events that you have as a writer and poet.
Sure. I actually have so much coming up, and it's really exciting. So follow me on Jeanette Powers.
This is only an hour show, Jeanette.
I know. Follow me at JeanettePowers.com or friend me on Facebook or Instagram or any of those things. I'm my regular name everywhere. And the next thing that's coming up, though, is April 14th at Inner Urban Art House, which is a great organization. I'm bringing in two Cleveland presses and their poets, Diane Borsnick and John Burroughs. Joining them are myself and Jason Prue, and I'll be releasing my newest poetry book, which is called Gasconade.
We love that about you. Always busy, you know, spinning plates in the air. I love that about you, Jeanette.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Anytime, you know, you want to come back, that door is open.
Thank you so
much. You might
have
to rattle the knob a little bit, but we're always ready to have you back here in the studio because you bring so much to the community, and we love having you.
Oh, thank you.
Terrific. We're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio after this. We've got Pablo Sanhueza up next. Cumbia Celtica. Yay, we love that. It's not Pablo Sanhueza, but he does play a lot of Latin jazz, and he's up next. He's with the KC Latin Jazz Stars, and they're celebrating their 15th year together. Now, Pablo is the band leader in Plays Timbales, and there's other band members, Evan Hoffman, Trevor Smith, Trevor Turla, Daniel Dismore, missing Antonio Reyes, and So Pablo views himself as a village musician who connects with the community through live performances and relationships with youths and local institutions. He directs Calle Vida, the street life band for the KC Latin Jazz All-Stars, providing grassroots dance music. Welcome. Hello.
Gracias por invitarme. Thank you so much for inviting me.
You bet. You know, we love having you in here, except when you lose your cowbells and you come knocking on the door.
Yeah.
Where's my cowbells?
The day before the gig, right?
Yeah. Well, you have a lot going on. And I want to say congratulations to you for the performance at the Arts KC Luncheon. That was grand. That was just so, so much fun. And
thank you so much.
Terrific music. And it was great to see Cheryl Iba Acosta up on the stage dancing.
Salsa music has become an international language for dancers and communities of different ethnic backgrounds, and we continue developing that. We are partnering with most everybody in town who's interested in promoting salsa music. When we talk about Latin jazz, it's a very interesting combination of concepts, right? Because the original name of this music is Latin jazz. Mm-hmm. Salsa became a word and an umbrella term to foster all these different Latin American dance music. Mm-hmm. Being the Afro-Cuban music, the most essential element of salsa, what we call salsa today. Salsa also incorporates music from Peru, Colombia, Mexico. Every nationality has a take on it, although the Afro-Cuban essence remains. And in that sense, we are hosting a Cuban pianist this Saturday. We are partnering with Peregrine Honig. She's a local artist at her space at the Greenwood
Social Hall at 1750 Bellevue Avenue.
Yes, yeah, we're collaborating with her. Uh-huh. We have several concerts program in this month of March, and not only, but we are putting an extra emphasis, an effort to feature women in jazz and salsa music. We are working with people across the nation too. We're flying them over and also featuring the locals. We have Jackie Zamora from New Mexico. She's originally from Peru. She's a salsa singer. We're going to have her at the Blue Room at the end of the month. On March 31st.
Now, is that at... Because I have a date at listed at Kemper Museum Saturday. That's not it?
Oh, you're correct. I don't have the date. I was reading. I don't have the date of the Thursday.
Here, look at that. Well,
I don't know.
I think it's the same thing, but...
Yeah, that's not it.
But, you know, your more information...
March 29th. March 29th.
Thank you.
With Jackie at the Blue Room. And the presentation at the Kemper is not with Jackie. This is just regular stuff.
Okay, it's different.
But the important days that we want to invite the people to participate is at this collaboration we have with Peregrine at the Greenwood Social Hall. Mm-hmm. We have several concerts featuring international guests.
And I want to mention that the one at the Greenwood Social Hall takes place Saturday, March 17th at 7:30, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we have a special guest from Cuba. This is a community event. It's not a it's a free gathering.
Okay.
It's not a commercial event.
Oh, terrific. Terrific. And again, that's at 1750 Bellevue Avenue on the west side. And as you mentioned, you have Bayou on the Vine on Thursday.
Yeah, tomorrow. We open. Yeah, it's our first salsa night at Bayou on the Vine. We bring the food orchestra. And everybody invited to come and dance, continue preparing for the summer. We know that this music is more... notorious during the summer, obviously
but it's good anytime.
It's good anytime.
It really is.
Yeah.
And then Kemper, you'll be at the Kemper Museum Saturday, March 31st at 1:30 with the guest curator, right, mm-hmm. from Cuba.
Yes, and.
And then I've got...
Yeah, it's a special event. There is a guest curator from Cuba. There is a very interesting... there is a revival of an interest towards the Latin American arts in town.
Right.
You know, it comes
in
waves.
Right, yeah.
But
we
are again in that moment in which Latin American arts are being paid more attention. It's also the result of the steady and consistent work of local artists. Mm-hmm. This is our 15th year. Going at it.
Congratulations for that. Yeah.
Thank you so much. And our focus is to bring up front Latino artists. Provide this space provide this platform, this orchestra, as a means to educate and provide a working opportunity to young artists. Yeah.
And I have one more date, April 12th. So next month is the Jazz Cabaret, the KCK...
CC.
CC Jazz Cabaret. Is that Kansas City, Kansas Community College?
This is at the Kansas City, Kansas Community College through the Office of Multicultural Affairs, Intercultural Affairs is now.
So all of this information, all the dates, all the information that one needs to know can be found on your website?
Yes. PabloSanhuesaMusic.com. Also, in our Instagram or Facebook is KC Latin Jazz All Stars. Mm-hmm. And we're getting ready to celebrate our quinceañero, our quinceañera this year.
So what's that going to look like?
It's a series of concerts that we're going to have a big Saturday night out on the Vine during Latin American Heritage Month, within September and October. So we have basically our season started earlier. We are already in it, and we're going to have a bigger event, a release of original music and our record on Latin American Heritage Month.
Great.
September, October.
Now, if you just tuned into Art Speak Radio, I'm talking to musician, educator Pablo Sanhuesa. He's talking about the KC Latin Jazz All-Stars celebrating their 15th year, and terrific. That's... Congratulations. I mean,
thank
that's
you
huge.
So much.
But I also want to mention to folks that Pablo has performed with Latin jazz legends and African drumming masters, including Pancho Sanchez, Tiro Sompa, Dave Valentin, and Bobby Watson. And they all kind of inspired you in your early years,
very much. They have the opportunity to perform with these internationally touring artists. The biggest teaching I got that this is possible. It's possible for everybody to achieve goals as long as you're in a nurturing environment. And that is a big step. Sometimes you have to remove yourself from an unnurturing environment to look for a more edifying space. And that can be the challenge. But once you can realize, if you are not in a comfortable place, if you're not surrounded by supportive environment, the most difficult step, I think, is to detach from that and look for a more nurturing environment. And that is the lesson that I learned, because none of these guys had a paved path to their success. It was most of them come from very difficult upbringings, and most of them have used that as fuel to change their destiny into something that relates to the arts.
But you really do connect with the community through your live performance and educating youth, right?
Yes.
And
we
other
have
local,
young people. KCKCC is one of our pools, to find musicians, young musicians who want to be interested in this. And for that, we're starting now to create our own Latin Jazz Percussion Academy, in which we're going to just offer the service of teaching the education, teaching Afro-Cuban percussion.
I want to be a part of that.
Yes.
I really do.
We have several partners already interested in providing the space for us to provide community lessons, to provide introduction to percussion, to drumming, to hand drumming, providing also a cultural immersion. It's not just the music. The meanings many times get lost. Sometimes emulating the music is good enough at a level, but we need to know more about what the meaning of this music.
Yeah, because there's so many influences, Caribbean, African.
It's a reinvention of African rhythms in a new context with new influences, with the presence of the multicultural phenomenon that Latin America is. The Latin American immigration in Kansas City represents that. Many times you have this culture living here, and it's a good way to enrich and contribute to the larger community to present our take in music.
As you develop this this new group of educating people, is that sort of in So being formed, or is there a place where you all meet? How can people find out more information?
We have one location, which is the place in which I live. It's a big house, and we meet there to study.
Everyone at your house.
But we will
yes,
be,
I love that.
we will be having public sessions here in the middle of the city. Mm-hmm. Prosperos is also a partner mm-hmm. of us. They provide mm-hmm. a space for us. We get the 18th and Vine, the American Jazz Museum, is also providing space for us. We're having partnerships with KC Arts KC.
Oh yeah, good.
And the museums. Uh-huh. So you will this class mobile class will be offered at many spaces.
Oh, I like
and
that.
We're gonna be providing the drums and the and context, so people know what they're getting into.
So for all the information that you're talking about, including the events, the dates, and all of the performances, may be found at your website, pablosanuezamusic.com.
Yes.
And other social media.
KC Latin Jazz All-Stars in Facebook and Instagram. And that's mainly the ways that we promote. Calle Vida, the street life band, is our community events band. That's the band that we volunteer for multiple events in the city. We're volunteering for West Side Housing through the Greenwood, too. So we're doing many things.
And again, tomorrow you'll be at Bayou on the Vine.
Yeah,
Thursday. What time is that?
Tomorrow we start at 8 p.m.
Uh-huh.
Salsa lessons early, the live band, and then we have DJ for the breaks. So we'll continue promoting and fostering dancing and Latin American music, yes.
Now, do folks have to make reservations to...
No, all these shows are...
You just kind of show up.
Mm-hmm, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Gosh, 15 years together, and you've been playing for a long time, you know, as a youngster, right?
Yeah, we started very young. Well, I first came to Kansas City in 1996, mm-hmm. but then I moved to the West Coast, and then I came back in 2003, and that's the official date in which we start counting our years here. And it was always with locals. It's always been a collaboration between local artists and people who's traveling. We have so many people come and go. One of our artists, Mauricio Salguero, just won a Grammy for a children's album.
Wow.
So he moved out of Kansas City 5 years ago.
Yeah.
He was one of our band members. And when he comes to town, we work with him.
That's
and he's
great.
Always doing work with the children through the public libraries and institutions, cultural institutions.
Because I was going to ask you, of the members that are with you today, were they founding members? Really?
No, there is no founding members right now, except by me. I have guys in between 5 years. The oldest guy right now has been with the band for 5 years.
Mm.
That's
mm-hmm.
Evan,
mm-hmm.
percussionist. And Tony Reyes is the youngest in the band, one year, out of KCKCC. He's studying there. A young talent that we had the luxury to afford in the band.
Wow. Well, congratulations on the 15 years. Again, tomorrow you're Bayou on the Vine at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. And then Saturday, March 17th, 7:30 at the Greenwood Social Hall.
Yeah.
And gosh, so many more dates, so many other upcoming events that can be found on your website, pablosanuezamusic.com. And don't worry if you didn't get the spelling of the website. I can have that posted on Facebook on the ArtSpeak Radio
Facebook
page. Yeah. Any last words?
We look forward to see you soon. I'm going to be sending you an advance on the recording that we're going to release.
You know what? We don't have any of your music in our library.
No, so. I just realized we're going to send you an advance of our release to listen to it.
Will this be in with the celebration that you'll have the CD release? Oh,
mm-hmm.
And when is that going to be?
We don't have it's September for sure.
Okay,
it's going to be in September.
Well, we definitely want you to come back in September and
thank you so much.
Maybe even play live. I can tell you this that I know in the past years and most recently, your band, the KC Latin Jazz All-Stars have participated in our band auction. So thank you for that.
It was a pleasure. Yes, we did it a few months ago, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, no, not too long. Seems like just yesterday. But all I know is you came knocking on the door looking for your cowbells.
Yeah, I know. We left them here. Thank you so much, Maria.
We love you, my friend. And always doors open.
Gracias.
You bet. You know, we love having our creative community here in the studio, and we just love that Kansas City is just full of creative people. Hold on. And, you know, I want to thank all my guests today, Jennifer Nigro and Jeanette Powers, Pablo Sinueza. Thank you all so much for coming in today and sharing with us. And, you know, next week I can tell you, gosh, March 21st, we've got Stephen Johnson, Bob Summer, Charlene Pryor, and Angelica Sandoval. They're going to be here in the studio, and they're going to talk to you about all the stuff that's happening in their world. I just want to get a hello from this daughter of mine. Hello.
Hello.
She's on spring break. And
I'm on spring break.
Yeah. Yeah. And you and Pablo have performed together in the past of performances
Yeah, I've danced in a local dance group for the last 25 years, and so we've crossed paths in many different settings. When the Beach Club was the Beach Club in Westport, I spent many a young night.
The mythical Beach Club, right?
Yes. And then also just with my work with Maria Chaurand and the dance group, I know we've crossed paths in a lot of.
We should do it again. We should collaborate again.
Yeah.
And I should formally
I need to stretch first.
I should formally introduce my daughter Whitney Boyd. On spring break, she's a performer, a teacher with El Grupo Totonico, and next to her is Brian Gomez. Hello, Brian.
Hi, Maria. How are you doing?
I got all my noodles together. So yeah, so you guys have performed over the years because I know
you've been many times. We need to go back to that. We need to get back to working again together. Good to see you again.
Yes. Now, will you be performing in May or
Cinco de Mayo? We have Cinco de Mayo at the casinos. So, yeah, we look forward. We need to exchange numbers.
Yes.
Now that you mentioned the mythical Beach Club, the Beach Club was for 15 years, we were moving 700, 800 to 1,000 people every Saturday in the middle of Westport. Live music, live salsa. Mm-hmm. This was never mentioned in any written media locally, maybe KKFI. But at the time, we thought that we didn't need any endorsement because it was happening. It was an underground. It's a subculture, really, at the time. Still is.
Yeah.
And we didn't need any endorsement, and we were able to move for about 12 years straight every Saturday in Westport. Hundreds and hundreds of people, and that venue gave us the possibility, gave us the proof that it's possible to have a salsa orchestra in the heartland.
Maybe you can revive that somewhere, on the Kansas side.
Huh? We always be looking after that for a venue like that. The deal is that Westport offered the walkability. Mm-hmm, you know, it was like taking salsa and taking it to in the forefront of Kansas City. Now we are in the periphery.
Well, and I can tell you, Brian Gomez has won many awards for his fine salsa dancing. He's just a terrific dancer.
He's been a choreographer.
Participation awards, all participation awards. But they're still there.
Hey, participation is good. We need to work together. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the Latin community is really small, so you got to be really nice to one another.
Yes.
Yeah.
Got to.
For the most part. Until you're not. But I know El Grupo Totonico performs for the fiestas in September and you know, different, you know, there was so many years where they performed at the Folly, you know,
at the Beach Club, but I can say that you know, being involved in the Latino community in Kansas City, how small and tight-knit, it allows for a lot of crossover. I mean, I'm Mexican-American, but a good friend of mine that I grew up dancing with became involved in more Afro-Cuban styles of music and actually played with Pablo for a while, Juan Carlos Chaurand.
Oh, that Making Movies guy.
Yeah, he's now with Making Movies. But the Beach Club really was kind of my a huge influence in my formative years of with social dancing. Yeah. It really created a strong sense of community, and gave those of us who were young and still wanted to participate in our culture in the nightlife. It gave us a huge, huge venue, and possibility to connect with people, not just in a social setting, but in a cultural setting too. And that was really important for us.
Yeah, we got to bring it back.
That was the value. It was 15 years. Basically, if we have any awareness in Kansas City about the Latin American and Caribbean salsa music and Caribbean music, it's mainly because of that venue. That set the precedent and set a standard also for us. Whenever we throw an event, we compare it with that.
Yeah.
Was it that good? Was it not?
Yeah, beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Brian Gomez. Thank you, Whitney Boyd. Thank you again, Pablo.
Thank you, Maria.
It's always a joy. Stay tuned next for Jazz in the Afternoon with Jeff Harshbarger. I think he's here. I'm not sure. But, you know, I want to thank you so much for listening and making us a part of your day. Be sure to like us on Facebook because we like you. And you know what? I'm going to say it. Say it with me. Honey, I'm coming home.